Hey, good morning and welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church. And just thank you for being online. And we're just waiting for people to kind of walk into the church. We have some people out in the parking lot. But I want to say good morning to you online first and just say thank you for being with us this morning. We're going to do a few songs. This is our second service. And we had one at what was it, 8:30 this morning. And it went really well. So we're just going to be singing some songs and things like that. As the people still come in, we are live on the internet and Facebook, and just welcome and looking forward to the day. So if you're at home, just sing along with me. And crowd, if you're here, feel free to take off your face mask now since we're all seated, and we'll be good to go. You may know the chorus. There's coming a day when the heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to bend the eye, all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. You know the chorus, here we go. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There is no sorrow there, his presence, and I knew this was the place where love abounds. the temple, Jehovah God abides soon. My soul, my Savior God. God good? He is great. Amen. Amen. For the little bit of voices, I can hear you anyway. I'm starting to lose mine. Amen. We're doing this so you don't have to have hymnals. Amazing grace, how to church, and welcome to everybody out there online. We appreciate you all being here, and some people showed up. Okay, wonderful. Good to see you all back there in the back. Hi, Shannon. Good to see everybody. This is Pentecost Sunday, so welcome to the birth of the church. This is the birth of the church's birthday, and we're celebrating that. That's what the message is going to be. So if you can't figure out what book in the Bible we're going to be at shortly, probably to deal with the church, it would probably be Acts if I was a betting man. So you may want to go ahead and find that in the book of Acts and ink pink, because we're going to give you some pointers here in a minute. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. And if, deacons, we can go ahead and have you come up, and we'll take up the offering. Appreciate you coming out and sharing your day with us. We're trying to make this as safe and secure and as possible for everybody. Let's just open up with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for who you are. Lord, it's so good to be back into the house of God. But Lord, I just ask that each person that's listening to my voice right now, whether it's in this room or all over the world online right now, Lord, that they feel the power of the Holy Spirit in those songs, in the messages of those songs. Lord, we just give you glory and praise, whether we're in the building, in the living room, at work, watching online, whatever. But Lord, we just want to give you the glory. And as people continue to watch this service over and over all week long, Lord, may the power still be there to be able to reach them and let them know, no matter what condition they are in, no matter what they've done or in the middle of right now, there is a Savior that died on the cross for each of us. And that includes you too. Everybody. We just ask that, Lord, you take this service, you accept it as a praise offering to you. Because, Lord, we're all in the same condition. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. And you're the one and only Savior. This world needs you, Lord. They're looking. May they find it in you. In the middle of all this darkness and all this craziness, may they see you standing in the middle of the storm and hear your voice calling to them, just come to me. We give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you hear. Feel free to sing. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. Glad you're here this morning?
Yes.
I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad
somebody showed up.
Uh-huh.
It was good to have everybody. We had a good first service. This is my first experience doing back-to-backs. As you can tell, my voice is already shot. I thought one good thing that I had in my body was my voice still, but
apparently not.
Glad you're all here. You guys are getting big.
Uh-huh.
Girls are back there. Good to see you guys. It's just good to be back home, isn't it?
Yes.
And we're going to talk about home a little bit. I think we've learned over the last couple months now. I don't even know when this, we went into seclusion. I still work every day, but I think it was in March. And we kind of lost the ability to be able to gather together, the impact that that made on my life. And it wasn't because, I told the group this morning, it wasn't because I enjoy coming and setting up chairs and doing all that, you know, on Sunday mornings early. I can do without that. I kind of like being in my PJs until just about Don says, hey, it's about time to go live. And then I put a shirt on. And that's not true. I'm dressed. Just trying to give you a visual picture that you won't be able to get out of your mind all day. But I miss this. I miss seeing your face and seeing the kids. And the kids are over there crayoling and coloring on pages. I hope they don't do a picture of the preacher in the little box that's really mad at me. But I made little pages for them to color on this morning. But I miss the fellowship. I miss being in the same room. I mean, the online thing's wonderful, and we're going to keep on doing this. It may not look like this every time now. We may end up using this one up here. But right now, we're doing it from here. And Don is right there in California listening to us and producing it as we go. And then he gets it out on Facebook and all the other things that is out on YouTube and all over. I know there's thousands of people each week that listen to this thing. I don't know how or why or where they're from, but I get emails from people around the world that says, hey, I saw your message online and thank you. So the impact, I have to be honest with you, I would have never done this if it wasn't for the situation we were in. So God's turned something good out of this because we're making an impact to people that I would have never. And one of the benefits, I think, of this is we get to talk to all the homebound people and those that have computers, and that's what Gene Pritchard's listening to us, and Doris Allen's listening, and all those people that want to be here. I hope Steve and Shirley, I talked to Steve Perkins this morning, and he said, Shirley, they were going to risk it. I said, oh, I don't blame you. But you know who the first one, the first persons to, in this morning was Vivian. Here, Vivian Howe walked right in here and sat right on that chair right back there. Like, Vivian, how old is Vivian? She probably don't want the whole world to know. But she's at least 65. That's all I got to say. But it was good to see Vivian. But I miss this. I miss the togetherness and the family. And I really wish I could hug you. And just to do that. But anyway, if you would get into your Bible, we're going to be in the book of Acts. Let me show you how this works. Hey, Don, if I go long this morning, are you going to get mad at me? Don, are you there? But he'll tell me. He'll type me something here in a minute and say, you can go long or I'm going to cut you off. I did fine this morning, didn't I? We got done right at the exact time, so this is good for me. If you're in actually there, say, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, this... I never do a sermon the same way twice, but I do want to indicate that the day of Pentecost isn't something that is on the Baptist calendar. I don't know why. In our circles, I don't believe in any day that I've ever been, and I've been in church services all my life, that I've ever had anybody in the Baptist church say anything about the day of Pentecost. I don't know why. I don't know if the word Pentecost scares us. It shouldn't, because we all have the Holy Spirit in us, because that's one of the gifts we give. We ask Jesus Christ to come into our heart. Jesus Christ cannot abide in your heart without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes into your life to stay in your heart. But the neat thing about the Holy Spirit is he's that extra juice in your tank that can get you through situations, and there's an infilling and a refilling of the Holy Spirit that happens periodically in your life. There's just times that we get in conditions in our world where we go, I just don't think I can make it. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to, what I'm going to say to this person. Or somebody calls you and says, hey, you need to get to the hospital and witness to somebody. You go, I don't have a Bible. I don't even know a verse. And then I had this not too long ago. I think it was Philip Plummer. Somebody, I can't remember who it was. So I'd never done that before, but I walked in. It just started pouring out. It's like, that's not your skill. That's what the Holy Spirit gives you, words of comfort and Bible verses, the things that you've hidden in your heart, they just all come out. Now, one thing that I think is very interesting, me working in the world of OB-GYN during Monday through Friday and Saturday and Sunday lately, is that when a baby's born, every bit of the DNA in that child is already in it. There's no more growth of DNA. There's no more multiplication of DNA. Everything that that child is going to get in the DNA capacity is already in the baby. And if you really want to get particular, at the point of conception, all the DNA is already there. Everything that that person needs, the DNA that you have right now, is in that very moment. When those two, without getting too biological, when those two eggs start germinating and that fetus is formed and conception is there, the DNA starts immediately. So that to me, when we talk about life, if the DNA is there, then there's life in that child already. Whatever even takes the first breath of this wonderful air that we have in Houston. But anyway, it's already there. The DNA is there from the very beginning. And I want to show you in Scripture that when the birth of the church comes along, just as that baby is coming out of the womb, the birth of the church is coming out of the womb of what God had planned since the beginning of the earth. And he's saying, I want to let you know, in that day, in that development, in that birth, all the DNA in that church to make it work, to have the power, to make it succeed, to do my direction, to have my plan and my purpose for that church is already in that church. It's there. And everything that we need to know as Faith Springs Baptist Church and all the churches of the people that goes to churches around the world that's listening is in this day and in this scripture, and we're going to show you eight of them. The neat thing about this also is it not only refers to the church, but it refers to you as an individual. It refers to you as an individual all the way around. Each eight of these keys are things that we have access to. So the DNA is going to be exposed, and you're going to see the eight things that you have to have or should have if you are a real Christian. Now, halfway through, if you go, wait, I don't have that. I don't have that. I don't have that. Okay. The grits may not be cooking yet. You don't have them on the stove. You may have them in the pot, but you're going to have to shift them over to the burner and get Jesus Christ in your heart to be able to understand that maybe there's something more that I need in my life to be able to get that, all of these keys in there. And this is stuff that's available to you at the point of salvation, okay? So if you haven't found it yet, please get help. It's right after the Gospels, the book of Acts. Let me throw you out the first point first. Time. Real Christianity. Number one, has supernatural power. Has supernatural power. Let me tell you what. This computer, HP, it's an HP. HP Corporation doesn't have supernatural power. Microsoft doesn't have supernatural power. The Rotary Club doesn't have supernatural power. There's no organization. Baylor College of Medicine does not have supernatural power, even though there's people in it that think they do, and they may, but the organization does not, and I want you to catch that. The organization has not been granted supernatural power. The only organization, company, business, entity that you want to, however you want to put it, is the Church of God. It has the one and only access the supernatural power. Our church alone, the church alone, has that power. That's why the devil has been trying to kill this church off for years, and he can't get it done, because this is a powerful organization in his life. Yeah, during COVID, on the other side of this, there's going to be churches closed everywhere. Watch. There's going to be so many of these storefront churches and churches our size that just go under. They cannot take the financial hit that this has caused us, that this has caused so many people. But thank goodness for the giving and the graciousness. You guys, we're doing okay considering the circumstances, considering that we're a church in the middle of a construction program. We ought to be hurting before this ever hit. You with me? And then to throw this on top, I don't know, Jack, what we did to deserve this. I just don't understand, but hey, we're making it because of you guys are so loving and giving. But no other entity has that kind of power. Even the Red Cross. Do good things. They help people, but they don't have the supernatural power. Supernatural power has been given to one entity alone, and it belongs in the church. God has not promised his spirit to help anybody or anything except his church. Acts 1. I don't know what verse I want to read. I've read out a different one this morning. I'm going to read out this one. So hopefully, well, let me read out this one. It worked all right this morning. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles, this is chapter 1, whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs. It's saying here that Jesus was around after the crucifixion. He's walking around on the face of the earth, showing himself and teaching himself to people. And this goes on to say, here's the date. And I love this. This is not only spiritual, but it's historical. We can read this in the Chronicle, except this would be true. For 40 days, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I love that. Then jump down to verse 8. He's telling them now, this is what's happened. Here I am. This is what I'm promising you. This is what's coming to be. This is how everything's going to take place. And he says, verse 8, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And he goes on down a little bit further, to be my witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. It's like Jerusalem being the city that we're in, and Judea being Brazoria County, okay? And then Samaria being Harris County. He's saying, I'm going to teach and give you the power to be able to take it out from this place to all around, eventually, the entire world. So he gives them this supernatural power. Now, this computer will run on a battery for a long time, but it'll eventually give out if you unplug it from the power source. And I can illustrate this. Curtis is back there. Sorry for moving on, Curtis. But I can illustrate this by playing the piano, and then all of a sudden, all you have to do is go. It's gone. There's nothing because the power source has been cut. There's so many Christians beating on their emotional keyboards trying to get stuff to happen, and it's not going to happen because you haven't plugged into the power. And you got to realize that power is available for each of us to be able to tap into. It doesn't make sense to buy the car or to have the car in your possession and not put gas in it. It doesn't make sense to me. So why do we as a church present Jesus Christ to people day in and day out, and then we're scared to talk about the Holy Spirit? Are we kidding? We have supernatural power, and it's found in Him. And that's one and alone. And right there is enough to be worth getting out of bed for and putting on clothes, putting on good clothes, getting out of your PJs, just to come into church to get that. And we have that supernatural power. And where does that power come from? It comes from Him. But how do we get it? Pray. You talk to Him. Almost 99.99999% of the time, when somebody comes to me with a situation that they're just distraught in, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do with my kids. I don't know what I'm going to do about my job. I feel so far from the Lord. He's not talking to me. I just don't know what I'm going to do in life. Chances are, the prayer life is lacking. Because that's where the power is at. And all you have to do is really convict the people by going, okay, well, before we go too deep, how much time are you spending in prayer? Oh. There's the answer. It's like somebody coming to me that's so weak. Say, Greg, I just don't think I can take another step. When's the last time you ate? Oh, a week ago Wednesday?
Yeah.
Really? What makes sense in that picture? What makes sense with that? To get the power, you have to get the fuel in. And that's where it comes from, prayer. If you don't hear anything else but this morning, that we have the power, and the power comes through prayer, that's where it's at. And that's one of the characteristics of the church that I just love. But jump to chapter 2. We're going to try to get through these. I got 7 more points, so we're going to get it done. I have all the faith in the world. But on this one still, on the power. Acts 2, 1. When the day of Pentecost came, and they were all gathered in place, I'll give out the question like I did this morning. How many people were in the place? For 20 points, Alex, how many people are in the place? Okay, you're all, no, maybe, I'm afraid to say. Who? 12? No.
120.
120. You heard the answer this morning. Is that what you said?
No.
Okay. How many people were in the upper 120? Okay. But you have to see, it goes from 120 to a mega church like that. And you don't like the word megachurch. I don't know why, but it gives you, I guess, ideas of things that you don't agree with. I don't know what's going on here. Let's take this one. But 120 are in the room. Suddenly a noise, like a blowing wind. It wasn't blowing. So don't think that they were sitting there going, and their faces all back, and their hair's all blown, and their wigs are blown off, toupees are gone, and all that. No, it's not that way. The notes were flying around the room. It was a sound like that. If you've ever been in a tornado, you've ever been in a hurricane, and you hear that railroad sound and going, you know what I'm talking about. It's that sound of it coming. You can hear the power. You can hear it. The other night, here I am up on the upper floors of a building, and you hear the storm coming from, I think it was from you guys' area, from the Sugar Land area. It's like, whoa, something's getting ready to hit. Because you could just hear it. That's why I was going to magnify that. And maybe Mike will have it to be as loud as I was singing this morning on the the speaker system. I know everybody's going, oh, it's too loud. It's, oh. Okay, sound is coming like a blowing wind. It came from heaven, and it filled the whole house. Imagine that. Then they saw something like flames of fire. Didn't say it was fire. Nobody's hair caught fire. It was like flames of fire. They were separated, these like the flames of fire, over everybody's head. The 120, there's 120 of these like flames of fire, illumination, and however you picture flames of fire. I can't wait till we get to heaven. This will be a neat night at the movies. Hey, come watch the birth of the the church. It's going to be down at the Jehovah Theater at 8 o'clock, so we get to go down and watch it. Can you imagine? Because we're going to get to see these scenes over again. We get to live these again. This is going to be wonderful. So they saw something like the flames of fire. They were separated and stood over each person. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all began to speak with different languages by the power the Holy Spirit was giving them. Notice three signs that day. Noise that sounded like a hurricane inside a building. A bright flame that looked like fire over every individual person. And everybody was speaking an unknown tongue? No, a foreign language. Okay? I took 4 years of French and can't say anything except où est à la toilette. Where's the bathroom? And I thought I was going to go to France my senior year, and I wanted to make sure I had that one down pat. That's all I could speak out of 4 years of French. I should have taken Spanish. I didn't know I was going to be in Texas, and I wish I did because I can't speak anything in Spanish either, but I want to so bad. But they spoke foreign languages. Okay? Jesus is saying here that I'm starting today, I'm going to build my church, and the church is going to have the power of the sound that is in their room. It's going to be radical, and we expect each person to have that radicalness in them as on fire for God. And it's going to be multicultural. It's for everybody on the face of the earth. Not just whites, not just blacks, not just Asians, not just Russians, not just Chinese, not Japan. It's going to be for everybody. It's for the entire world. And as I was talking this morning, I indicated that I would have never done this if it wasn't for us needing to make a connection with our people. But now, this church has an international ministry. People in New Zealand watch us. I don't know what it is about New Zealand. I mentioned this the other day. I want to go and start a church in New Zealand, Faith Springs Baptist 2 in New Zealand. I'll be the pastor, and I'll have to stay there. It's a beautiful place. But has anybody been to New Zealand? I want to go, but these people are so nice, and I get to talk to them all the time. Tonight, the person on the radio show, Tracy Maxfield, watches our church service. She's from Canada, British Columbia, Canada, and she watches our church service every week. Don's on here. Don watches, and of course, he's the producer of the radio show, but he watches. He just loves this, and it's just amazing. We're around the world, and that's what God was trying to do on this day of Pentecost, on the birth of the church. I'm saying, I don't want it to just be here. I don't want you to think you have a monopoly on this, and it only can happen here. I am making it in such a way that when I wanted to divide people with the Tower of Babel, say, we'll just make a tower all the way to heaven. We don't need God. Us folk can do that. Give me a couple construction companies and some tools, and we're going to start making this tower. Remember this in the Old Testament? What did God do? God came down. He said, okay, I'll just confuse y'all by doing what? I'll give you all different languages. And it was languages that nobody knew. It could have been Pig Latin for all I know, but they couldn't communicate with anybody. At that point, the construction stopped because he knew it wasn't going to be able to make it because he absolutely confused him with the language. God saying, now I am going to build you to have an access from earth to heaven through the church. And I'm going to give you every language in the world to be able to do that. And right now, and I said this a couple weeks, I believe, online, that I truly believe that the church is more powerful today than it's ever been. We're going to come out on the other side of this stronger, more people saved than what's ever been, because there's thousands of people sitting in their homes that would have been watching Looney Tunes or something else on TV, but they're watching church now that never would have. And they're realizing we're not as strange as what they thought we were. that God's power works through those lines too. And I just love that. So that first one is that we have supernatural power. There's a verse I want you to write down. Look it up when you get home. But it's 1 Corinthians 4:20. Talking about the kingdom of God. The problem today is that most churches don't have power. Yeah. Most churches are just existing. We're the only type of entity, and I mean this seriously, we're the only entity or organization that can go out of business and stay in business for years is the church. You're out of business. There's nothing coming in. There's nothing going out. It's just a country club for people to come and sit and try to power over each other. That's what's wrong with our churches now. And I love that we're not that way. God say it, it says in 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. It's a matter of power. And that's a good verse to know. It's a matter of power. If you don't have it plugged into the source and you're not experiencing the power, anybody out there, I have a question. If you don't see the power of God in your church, I wouldn't keep going to a restaurant if they wanted to go to keep serving me food. I'd find a church that has the power to be able to reach and do what needs to happen in your life and through the Word of God. Number two, the second mark of real Christianity is in verse 4. They all began to speak with different languages, so the Spirit gave each of them the power to express themselves. The second mark of true Christianity is it uses everybody's language, and we already get that pretty good. Let's just keep reading down to verse 5. There were religious Jews staying in Jerusalem at that time who had come from every country in the world. Isn't that strange that just by chance people from around the world was there? Is that by chance? I don't think so. God brought them all together on the day of Pentecost when he was going to start the church. When they heard this noise, a large crowd gathered. They were all excited because all of them heard the believers talking in their own tongues. So they heard you speaking somebody's language that you didn't know how to speak. Of Michael. In his language. I said, wait, Walter's not Ethiopian. But he was speaking, if you were an Ethiopian, your language. And other people were speaking other people's languages that they had no clue or wisdom about that language. This isn't about speaking in tongues. That's 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. And all those chapters talk about that. Whole different ballgame. This is actual languages. And he brought everybody in and dropped this on them to show everybody that was there something's different. This is the beginning of something. You better hang on and fasten your seatbelts because something's fixing to happen. We've never seen anything about this. And then we had probably somebody there like a good old Baptist says, I know the problem. They're drunk. They've been out all night. Peter jumps in and says, no, don't start that. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Are you kidding? These folks ain't been drinking. There's something more to this. This is the power of God. And he did this in a way that he wanted everybody to hear that. I don't know about you. That just kind of gets my, that gets my wick all excited. I just love it. Turned my flame up a little bit. I go, when they heard the noise, large crowd gathered. They were all excited because they heard the believers talking their own languages. In amazement and wonder, they exclaimed, these people are talking just like they are Galileans. How is it that all of us hear them speaking in their own native tongues? In verse 11, all of us hear them speaking in our own language about the great things that God has done. What is God doing here? He's doing exactly the opposite of what he did in Genesis 11, Tower of Babel. Exactly the opposite. He uses everybody's language. Three, real Christianity uses everybody's gifts. Yep. Acts 2, 14, 16, and 19. We're just going to jump back and forth to make the points. Then Peter, the one that denied Christ, that Peter, the one that Jesus came out of the grave when he said, hey, go get all the disciples and Peter. I want Peter to know this. Peter, I don't know if he got this message or not, but he was ready to preach. This is Peter's sermon on the mount moment. This is his moment, okay? And I love this moment. And he says, Peter then stood up and said, these people are not drunk as you might suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. He says, God says, I will pour out my spirit on everyone. On everyone. Now, let's get debatable. Let's start a fight. Okay? On who? All of us old men that are established. No. Your sons and your daughters. Okay? Will proclaim my message. So everybody's going to have the ability to proclaim the message. Your young people will see visions. Your old men will have dreams. Yes, even my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will all proclaim my message. Everybody is a messenger. Everybody is a missionary. Everybody is a minister, whether you like it or not. That's what God's word says. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Real Christianity uses everybody's gifts. It's not just mine. It's not just the deacons. It's not just the Sunday school teachers. Everybody. And we talked about this how many times with experiences. Every time you go through a bad experience, understand that God's going to use that bad experience, that trauma, to be able to bless somebody later on, I promise you. Number four. We did okay on time. I lost some time. Did we get off at 11 or 11:30? 11:30? 11. When did we go off?
We got 11:30 when we go off.
When did we come on?
When we came out to 11.
I don't know. I'm going to keep going. I'm almost done, though. Hang with me. Number four, real Christianity not only has supernatural power, but uses everybody's languages, uses everybody's gifts, but it also offers life-changing truth. Peter, Acts 2, verse 14. Peter addressed the crowd. He says, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. I will show wonders in the heaven above, signs on the earth below, and everybody who calls on my name, on the name of the Lord, will be saved. He's quoting Joel. He's quoting a book that probably majority of you don't even know where it's at. That's not one that we jump into a lot. I told the group this morning, can you imagine walking into Joel in heaven? You go, oh, no, there's Joe. I didn't read his book. He's going to ask me, and I don't know anything about it. But Peter knew about it, and he brings it up and throws it out and talks about it. Verse 40. Those who accepted that message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their members. To their number that day. Wow. 3,000. I get excited when three. I get excited when one. Can you imagine going from a church our size, 120, to 3,000 one day? And let me tell you, it wouldn't shock me if it didn't happen again. It would not shock me. People are going to be hungry for God's word like they never have been before. Real Christianity, number five, provides loving support. You'll see in verse 42, Acts 2:42, they took part in the fellowship, sharing in the fellowship meals, and in praying together. They loved eating and being together, and they prayed together. And there's another version that puts it very simply. They became like family. And I love that version. They were family. That's what I love about us. We're family. This is my family. Fire me as your preacher. I'm still coming. We're family. You can choose to pick your friends, but you're stuck with family. You're stuck with us because we're family. I just love that. Verse 44, all the believers continue together in close fellowship. The Message version puts it this way. They lived in wonderful harmony. Not hominy. I love hominy, but harmony. In harmony. Oh, I love harmony. Harmony. They were in unity with each other. I love that. Number 6, real Christianity. Not phony, not fake. Real Christianity enjoys joyful worship. Verse 46, they continue to worship together in the temple courts. Notice that's plural. Praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. Praising, enjoying. Their worship was happy. Where do we get worship that puts people to sleep? It's not going to be that way in heaven, folks. You're going to be totally shocked if you think that worship ought to just be very somber and reverent. And there's times for that. I'm into that too. But it's a joyful, happy time. You can be in the presence of the Lord. You can experience that right now. Acts 2:28, you show me the paths that lead to life, and your presence fills me with joy. There's joy again. Verse 26, more of Peter's sermon. Because of this, my heart will be glad. My words are going to be joyful, and I will live in hope. Church, if you don't do anything this week, grab some kind of nugget of hope today and go out and give it to work this week. There's people out there that need hope. They think they're going to lose their job. They think their job's going to go down to halftime. They think that their hours are going to start being cut. They think their money per hour is going to start being cut. And some of you are maybe have already experienced that. I've heard a lot of our people have. And I know we're at Baylor. We're trying to keep everybody on and all that. We haven't laid off anybody yet, any of that. But we are starting to use our vacation days mandated because we got to get the power of what we owe down. So we're trying to say, oh, yeah, you have to take vacation days. I max my vacation days. Now I'm at, you know, I don't know how many, but like 8 weeks. And they go, well, you got to take some days. Like, okay. So they force you to. That's kind of, so right now we're doing all right. But people out there need hope. They need to know that there's a Christ that loves them. And because of the day of Pentecost, because of what he established in the church, that hope's available for them also. And real Christianity makes generous sacrifices. Number 7. Generous sacrifices. In verse 46, they shared their meals with great joy again and generosity. You know, the offering plate came by a while ago. And most people in most churches, the navel starts puckering. Oh, no. When this plate brought out, and I'm not trying to raise more money, we ought to go, good. I'm ready to give God what's in. I'm ready to worship him with this. Because this is what it's all about. And they worshiped with each other, giving what they had out of generosity. And they weren't irritated about it. They loved it. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity. And the last one is real Christianity creates growth. Verse 47. People liked what they saw, so every day their number grew as God added to those who were being saved. We can go back to the very verse that we started off with. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in Pearland, in Sugarland, in Alvin, in Houston, and all around the world. That's the birth of the church. That's what this church is all about, to to be able to go out and give people hope that God brought to them and the power on the day of Pentecost. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for gathering us together. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for giving us the historical account and the spiritual account of what happened on the day of Pentecost and the birth of the church. May we take those same elements and apply them to our lives and apply them to this family. May we have a different type of joy and excitement of giving you the praise that you deserve, of helping each other and caring and loving each other. And Lord, it's just so awesome to be in a church that loves each other like we do. It's an honor to be part of this family. We give you all the praise. And may we go out of these doors today, not be doom and gloom, but lead people to salvation and to the hope that this world needs that can only be found in you. In Jesus' name. Sing with me as we close. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Amen. God bless and thank you for coming and being with us at Church this morning. Have an awesome day. Thank you for being with us online. We appreciate you being here. If there's anything that we can do for you, anything that you need, just let me know. Contact me. Give me a buzz. Email me. But thank you for being here right now. And God bless you. Have an awesome week, okay? God bless you. Good night.